Streaming has gotten way too complicated, but you can hack the system with Prime Video. It has everything in one app with one password. See Roadhouse and the National Women's Soccer League, both included with Prime. Plus, you can buy Premier Boxing or stream the NHL and NBA playoffs on Max with the Bleacher Report Sports add-on. Or add Paramount Plus for the Masters on CBS. Prime Video. Restrictions apply. Prime membership required for add-on subscriptions. See Amazon.com/Amazon Prime for details.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casual and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
You know our trusted partner TireRack.com for their fast, free shipping, free road hazard protection, convenient installation options, and their great selection of best tires, like the highly consumer-rated Bridgestone Weatherpeak. But did you know they sell other automotive products? Wheels, brakes, suspension, just to name a few. Go to TireRack.com/Colin. TireRack.com, the way tire buying should be.
Thanks for listening to the Best of Herd Podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 12 to 3 Eastern, 9 to noon Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and FS1. Find your local station for the Herd at FoxSportsRadio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching Herd.
This is the Best of the Herd with Colin Cowherd on Fox Sports Radio.
It is a Friday in Los Angeles. So good to be here, along with Alex Curry. It's the Herd, wherever you may be and however you may be listening. iHeartRadio, Fox Sports Radio, and FS1. Andy Reid of the Kansas City Chiefs stops by today. In 15, 20 minutes, we're going to have David Falk on. He was the first super agent in the NBA. Michael Jordan's agent, David Falk, one of the smartest guys that's ever represented athletes in the history of the country. Still nimble and smart and got a lot of things to say. We're going to bring him on today for several NBA stories. Alex Curry is joining us. Joy Taylor's given a commencement speech at Barry University in or around Miami.
She gave it.
Oh, she already gave
she
it.
She gave it. She is officially Dr. Joy.
That's great.
It's awesome. We got a packed show for your kind of your last day of school before summer break.
Yeah, I'm going to be out leaving tonight, going to Europe. So let's start with this. If you ever are lucky enough to work with somebody that's really, really, really talented, even if you don't get along, even if you have different personalities, you'll always be best served to try to make it work the best you can. If for no other reason than selfish reasons. Because if that person leaves you and you don't make it work and they leave and crush it with somebody else, it'll land on you that you were the problem. You see this in divorces. You see a divorce, the woman leaves the marriage and flourishes in her new life. The husband sinks. It was him. Wasn't her. She's great without it. It was him. So another story comes out today about OBJ and Baker Mayfield. I know. You think I'm going to pick on Baker. So I'm going to try to keep this semi-generic just so you don't think I'm picking on him. According to ESPN's Jake Trotter, a very good reporter, somebody I follow, a Brown starter was asked about those YouTube videos that were linked when OBJ, just before he left Cleveland, OBJ's dad put out videos of like Baker and OBJ. OBJ's wide open. Baker couldn't get him the ball. And Jake Trotter talked to a Brown starter who anonymously said, "I didn't look at those videos. I didn't need to. I saw it every day at practice." So I think I said this on the air. I'm pretty sure I did. I was told that Baker and OBJ were fine initially, but it got very chilly later in the relationship. And again, this has been my criticism on Baker. He makes everything harder than it needs to be. But I really do think, and this is a good lesson for me and other people, if you work with talented people and you're not a perfect personality fit, make it work as best you can. Because when you split, you will be judged when that talented person goes and flourishes elsewhere. You will be judged. And OBJ goes to the Rams, McVay and Stafford, and crushes. And crushes. And every GM in the league saw it. Every receiver in the league saw it. Every Cleveland Brown saw it. It hurt Baker. He can't get work. It really hurt. I mean, Baker's got a couple of things working against him. He's got a combative personality. But you know what? Jay Cutler got a bunch of chances. So did he. I mean, combative personalities. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he just got the highest contract. He can be combative. Kyler Murray's going to get a good contract. Combative personality. And he's kind of expensive. Not terribly expensive, but $18 million is kind of expensive. Baker's not that expensive, and he's not that combative that you wouldn't give him another chance. I think the OBJ thing hangs over him. By the way, OBJ said he'd be willing to go back to Cleveland once Deshaun Watson got signed. So that tells you what I was told about Baker and OBJ. It didn't work. So there's no reason Baker's unemployed. He's absolutely one of the 32 best quarterbacks in the NFL. He's not that expensive. I think it's the toxicity, the combativeness, and the OBJ situation. And it really goes down to something, a fundamental principle I have had, a criticism about Baker. Just make it easier. Stop being snarky. Get along with people. Make it work. We've all worked with people in our lives. I mean, I've been in this business 25 years. I've worked with people I love, people I don't like. Just make it work. Just do the best you can. You're not going to be working forever. Somebody will move on. But what you don't want to do is it doesn't work at all. They leave and crush, and it lands on you. So for selfish reasons, get along with people, especially talented people. Just figure it out. And by the way, we know this, that sometimes historically in football, the wide receivers have been bigger personalities. Tom Brady, Antonio Brown, he makes it work. Tom Brady, Randy Moss, he makes it work. I mean, Tom's the greatest example of he just figures it out. He gives of himself, relinquishes a little power, is there for the player. We know that wide receivers are the first to break the huddle. They tend to be the NBA players of the NFL. They're empowered. They're probably the most talented people in the NFL. Sometimes they come with a little personality. T.O. came with it. Andre Rison, Michael Irvin. There's been a lot of them. Make it work. Just do the best you can to make it work. Because now I think this thing lands on Baker, and it hurts him. Folks, he can't get a job. There's seven teams that need a quarterback. It was a bad quarterback class. He couldn't get a job. What happens next year when the over-under on quarterbacks entering the draft is 6.5 in the first round? That's the over and under I read last week. 6.5 quarterbacks going to be taken in the first round next year. You think he struggled? How do you struggle to get work now? I mean, Garoppolo's got an excuse. He's got an injury. He had surgery. So it can't just be the money and the combativeness. It can't, because he's too good to be just sitting on the beach. The OBJ thing hurt. Get along with people, even if they're difficult. All right, the other story that we talked about in the last hour yesterday is that according to Mike Lombardo, a reporter, San Francisco coaches have been underwhelmed regularly by Trey Lance, who they gave up a bunch of picks to get in draft. So I think it's time for the 49ers to rip off the Band-Aid. I think they just got to, I think they have to figure out a way to rip off the Band-Aid. So here's what we know about Trey Lance. So we're going to check some boxes. We know this. He's big, strong, and athletic. So check those boxes. Now, Tua in Miami, is he big enough, strong enough, athletic enough? Mac Jones in New England, big enough, strong enough, athletic enough? Doubts there. So that does sometimes, that's an issue. Okay, we know those boxes are checked. I've stood next to Trey Lance. He looks like an NFL quarterback. Big enough? Check. Strong enough? Check. Athletic enough? Check. It's not that. I've also had multiple discussions with him. He's smart. There have been multiple stories out of San Francisco. He's smart. Cognitively, let's check that box. So what is it? Well, he's a quarterback. Let's go to the throwing the ball stuff. So let's break down. He's thrown 71 passes in the NFL. Here's the rub. he's completed only 57%, and that's with Kyle Shanahan's offense. So Shanahan is known a little bit as a quarterback whisperer. Garoppolo, Super Bowl. Matt Schaub, Pro Bowl. Matt Ryan, MVP. That's the thing Kyle does. Makes all the quarterbacks like a notch above what we perceive them to be. Trey Lance has completed only 57% of his throws. And if you take out the game against Houston, and they were about as bad a team as the league had last year, he's completed only 52% of his throws. That's like Tebow. So I have not seen enough of him. I know he played at a small school, and there was a scarcity of games in his career for 2 years. But we know the big, strong, athletic, check, 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 the smart check. It comes down to the throwing part. And I will say this, when I've seen aesthetically, when I have seen him throw the ball, mechanically, I don't love it. It looks clunky, and that matters. I've always said Cam Newton's mechanics got significantly worse over his career. He completed like 59% of his throws. Sam Darnold, much as I love him, has a very slow release. It hurts him. Low completion percentage. Tim Tebow, super slow release. Under 60%. Even Matt Stafford, who's as gifted a thrower as the league has, sometimes his mechanics go sideways in Detroit when he was there, and his completion percentage would drop. So that's my guess, is that just the mechanics of him are not great. And by the way, if you're San Francisco, you just got to figure it out. You got to create clarity now. They're walking on eggshells. Like, nobody wants to make the move. And here's why you got to make the move. Because for 2 years, Josh Allen in Buffalo, after 2 years, we looked it up this morning, completed 56% of his throws. Now, Josh Allen's got a bigger arm than Trey Lance and is a bigger guy than Trey Lance. So everybody went all in and trusted the process. And with Trey, maybe they don't have that arm or that size. But we know he's big enough, strong enough. We know he has a power arm. You got to rip the Band-Aid off and go for it. Because if you are wrong, it's okay. It's not ideal. But then you go get the next guy. Because everybody in this league makes mistakes. Think about this. The Rams are about as smart a team from owner, GM, head coach. The Rams are about the smartest team you're going to find in the league. They're certainly in a very elite class. They had Jared Goff in the building for 3 years. Every practice, every game, all that film. The Rams guys, they gave him a huge contract, and a year later, they're like, yeah, we made a mistake on that. The Rams guys had Goff in the building for 3 years, every day at practice, every game, all that film, and they made a mistake. So it's okay if you make a mistake. We all make mistakes. Drafting's inexact, and the hardest position to figure out is quarterback. But you got to rip the Band-Aid off here. My guess is it's not the big, strong, athletic, smart thing. And those boxes matter. It's the delivery, mechanics, and if you got to put him out there. Let's see if it works. Because Josh Allen, I watched him in college, and I watched him his first year. He could be awful. I watched him against Oregon and Iowa. He was awful, wild, erratic. They cleaned it up. And he still can get a little sideways. But at least they got an answer by the end of year two. I mean, you can't keep walking on eggshells here. Go for it, all in, move Garoppolo every snap for a year. If he can't get to 63%, 64%, got the wrong guy. It's okay. Even the Rams with Goff, all that film, all those games made a mistake. Drafting's hard. Belichick can't do it well. It's hard.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
David Falk really was the godfather of being a super agent. In fact, the first time I ever heard the term super agent was when people talked about David Falk. He represented more than 100 athletes. He was Michael Jordan's agent for 30 plus years. And there were, for years and years and years, many people thought that David Stern, Michael Jordan, and David Falk largely ran the NBA. And true or not, I didn't know anything about agents. I never talked about agents. I never discussed agents. And then I watched David Falk's career, and he's so well represented, so smartly represented Michael Jordan, who Jordan to this day is had the greatest representation ever. It's really remarkable. If you go back and look from the commercials, and David spearheaded all of that. Still friends with Michael today, and he is now joining us live from Bethesda, Maryland. You know I love our discussions, David, and there's so many things here I want to talk about because let's just start with a big brand. You dealt with a big brand, the Lakers. Lakers is a big brand. Rob Pelinka was an agent. He was given the reins of the franchise. Some thought that was problematic. He likes his stars. Agents do. He brought Westbrook in. It didn't work. Do you think an agent running a team, would that have been hard for you? Is it a good fit? It sounds like it would work, but it hasn't been great so far, David.
Well, number one, you know, Rob worked for Arne Tellem, who's my best friend in the business, and I bought Arne's business, so Rob worked for me for several years. I think the issue with the Lakers isn't so much Rob. I think agents are not necessarily uniquely qualified to run a team, but if they're bright and they understand the collective bargaining agreement, I think it gives them a leg up. On the other hand, I think that so much competition amongst the agents and a lot of ill will that sometimes maybe it's hard to make a deal or make a trade because people have like an axe to grind. But, I think that the situation with the Lakers, let's be serious. LeBron is a very special player. There's no one in the NBA who doesn't think LeBron is running the team, that he's overseeing the player acquisitions, he's overseeing trades, and to a large extent, he's even involved in the negotiations for some of the players. And, I'm a big fan of LeBron's. I think he's earned his due, he's earned his props, if you will. But, there's an expression in the law that a lawyer who represents himself as a fool for a client. I don't think agents would make it very well as players in the NBA, and I don't think that players necessarily are qualified to be general managers. So I think there needs to be more of a line drawn. And I don't think LeBron's helping himself, truthfully, in doing that because he's at the tail end of his career. He wants to win a few more rings to get in the conversation about who's the GOAT. I don't think you get in the conversation until you win at least six. And I think you should have a professional general manager work with him to create a team around him that can win a title.
You know, I could be naive here, David, but I don't think, when I think of Michael, I don't think he wanted to control personnel. Again, I could be totally naive, but, Michael gave of himself to Phil Jackson. He trusted Phil. It's well documented now, David, that Phil came to him and said, Michael, you're the best basketball player in the world. You've got to trust your teammates a little more. And Michael just gave himself to Phil. I mean, that's not easy. So that my interpretation is Michael didn't want to control personnel. Am I right or wrong on that?
I don't think Michael felt the need to control personnel. And unlike LeBron, Michael had the exact opposite dynamic. He had a general manager, Jerry Krause, who believed that players didn't win championships, organizations won championships. So he sort of went the other direction of what's happening today and really didn't give a lot of input to Michael. Now, the owner did. Jerry Reinsdorf, was like one of the great owners in sports. He's bright, tough, but very bright, fair. He solicited Michael's opinion on big things. But as I said, I think that even ex-players, if you look at ex-players as general managers, a few of them have done really well, like Danny Ainge, Danny Ferry, Larry Bird. But this doesn't automatically mean if you played basketball that you're qualified to be a general manager.
Yeah, Clutch Sports and the Lakers, a lot of it's gone public, David. And I want to ask your opinion on this. I said it always feels like the Lakers can't do anything privately. It always gets out into the press. Is there ever an advantage to that? Is that a strategy by the Lakers, or did you want to do stuff privately then unveil it to the media and the fans?
I always wanted to do stuff privately, Colin, because there's so much pressure in this business to make deals, to make trades, to sign free agents, that you don't want to put the spotlight while you're doing it. And so when the press used to ask me, what's the likelihood of a player staying with his team or getting traded, I would never respond. I said, let's do a post-game wrap-up. Let's discuss it after it happens, and I can explain to you what our thinking was. But I would never, with few exceptions in almost 50 years, try to get out in front of these things publicly. To go one step further, because the NBA shares the revenues 50-50 with the players, 50.1 to be exact, the more things that get out publicly which undermine the credibility of the business of basketball cost the players money. Ben Simmons is a exhibit A, if you will. You know, I've done a lot of that in my career. I never did it publicly. I think it undermines your relationship with management. Makes it more difficult to do it the second time around. And more importantly, I think the public is fed up with guys making $40 million who feel they're not being treated fairly by their team. In an age where having inflation and a pandemic and people having trouble paying their bills, it's just a little too much drama. So I think the NBA should levy very serious fines against agents and players when these kinds of things go public, because it undermines the credibility of the game.
You know, I want to go into a couple of different areas here. So Michael Jordan famously said, I would never recruit my rivals to come to my team. So we have a cultural change where that is more understood now. But there are certain players, Damian Lillard, like he wants to be in Portland. And Giannis, he wants to be in Milwaukee. And Luka may not be the personality that he's going to get on the phone and call up guys. Now, Steph Curry has, KD has, LeBron has. As an agent, would you be comfortable with your player that you represent getting on the phone and recruiting guys? What do you make of that?
You know, it's a very interesting question. First of all, before I answer the question directly, in Michael's day, there were 4 to 5 times more superstars than there are today. And so I think if a player today does what LeBron did in 10, you know, when he went to Miami and tries to get 3 stars to play together, I think there are only 6 or 7 superstars in the whole league.
Right.
And so if you concentrate them in 1 or 2 teams, I think, again, you're making it very difficult to have parity. And as a business, the last thing the NBA wants to do is have teams that aren't in the hunt in freaking January, you know, halfway through the season. So I don't think it's a good thing for the business of basketball. And at the ripe old age of 71, my prism in evaluating these things, Colin, is really what's good for the game. You know, the game's been great for so many people, the star players, agents, coaches, general managers. And I think all of us have an obligation to sort of give something back to the game. So my comments aren't personal, you know, because I want more players or I want to recruit certain guys. It's really about the game on a macro level. And I think that, number one, it's illegal for agents to be tampering and making trades and stuff during the year. What's the penalty for players doing the exact same thing? A player's unhappy in one place and a superstar calls them up and said, hey, you know, stop playing or, you know, take it easy. Don't get hurt. You'll be on my team next year. I think it undermines the whole credibility of the game. So there are many different reasons I don't think it's productive. And again, this is a question that Adam's going to have to deal with, of how you create a level of discipline so that the players can't do something that agents aren't allowed to do.
You know, I knew David Stern. He used to come on my show twice a year, and we would argue, and it was great. It was very fun and playful, but I loved wrestling with him. And he was tough.
Me too.
Yeah, he was a smart guy. And but, I mean, he would go back at me and back and forth, and I liked the tug of war. And he was tough. I knew several people that went into negotiations with him, and it got ugly, yelling, screaming. I mean, it was tough. Now, Silver is perhaps not conciliatory, but Adam Silver's a little more gentle. He tends to be viewed as more pro player, and I don't know if that's true or not. Is there anything, and maybe it's because when David took the league over and you ran it, you were coming from a place that the league was broken and you guys were fixing it. That's quite possible. Now the league is crushing. Is there anything that Adam Silver does that you look at today and maybe it's a criticism, maybe you're not comfortable, maybe you think the compass is off? How do you view him as a commissioner?
Well, first of all, I really like him personally. He's incredibly bright. As you suggest, you know, the times have changed. You know, David had to be the way he was to grow the business from what he inherited in 1984, when he's coming off a time when the NBA finals were on tape delay.
Yes.
You can even imagine that.
Yeah.
And I think he got the owners in line. Adam's coming at a different time. He's younger. He's much more technologically savvy. The biggest criticism I have of the league and the union is the conflict that they allow to allow agents and agencies to represent players and management. Adam's a lawyer. Michelle Roberts was a lawyer at Skadden Arps. There's not a law firm in the world, certainly not in America, that would allow a law firm to represent the United Auto Workers Union and General Motors and say they put up a Chinese wall to prevent any conflicts of interest. And it, again, it undermines the credibility of the business. And I'm not saying that because I'm at a point where I will not sign any more players. So I'm not saying this because I have sour grapes or regrets. I just think it's really bad for the game.
Yeah.
And the questions you're asking about, you know, clutch, and I like Rich Paul. I think he's a good guy. Maverick Carter is a good friend of mine. I have no axe to grind with Clutch or with Rich. Again, I just think that the perception that an agency is running a team is not productive for the growth of the business.
Let me
and
ask,
for the players that Rich is going to represent.
Let me ask you, COVID was very, very difficult for a lot of people, our government, everybody, airlines. You know, Kyrie Irving made a choice. I'm not a big fan of mandates myself, David. I think Americans should have choices. But it did put that whole Brooklyn Nets situation. It was very difficult for everybody. If you represented a player, let's say Kyrie Irving, there were a couple quarterbacks. I don't want to get vaxxed. Kyrie has big, strong opinions. The vax. What do you do as an agent when it's not exactly lubricating the team and chemistry? What do you do as an agent? Are you powerless? Do you have discussions with a player and say, you know, like, I disagree with your stance? What does an agent do in that instance?
Well, I think the number one job of an agent, particularly when you're representing superstars, is to educate your clients. And I think, you know, I think today most of the agents are being managed by their clients because they're afraid, they're intimidated to disagree with them or to challenge them because they're afraid they're going to get fired and go with someone else who's going to pander to them. I think players of the level of Kyrie Irving have a responsibility to the fans, to the team, and to the league. And, you know, he's entitled to his own views on vaccination. But when you're making $40 million a year during a pandemic and, you know, people are losing their jobs left and right, I think you have a certain responsibility, you know, and that's what I would try to persuade him that there's probably not a positive approach to the issue. Now, I'm not powerless and I'm not omnipotent. I think at the end of the day, the client makes a decision. But if I felt really, really strongly about something and I thought a player was doing something that was so inimical to what I believed in, I would probably resign. And I have resigned from players just for that very reason, not because of vaccination, because I felt that I was wasting my time advising them and they were wasting their money paying me to advise them because they didn't listen. Stephon Marbury is a prime example. Rubio Robinson. You know, I just felt it was a marriage that wasn't working, and I thought it undermined my credibility and my own self feeling of self-worth because I didn't feel I was accomplishing anything.
Let me throw another one at you. David Falk, listening to our radio audience, super agent, represented 100 players, Michael, for 30 years. This one, I'm not a backseat driver on this. I didn't like the move initially. I know Rich Kleiman, the agent. I like him and admire him. But I said when KD left the Warriors and Bob Myers and Kerr and Steph for Brooklyn, I said, this is a tragic mistake. This would be Patrick Mahomes saying, I want to go play with a buddy with the Jets. You'd be like, you're out of your mind. Do not do that. So I'm not a backseat driver here. I thought it was a tragic mistake for one of the greatest players in the history of the sport. If you had represented KD, would you ever just say, I mean, did you ever have to say with any of your clients, this is a terrible move? This is a bad move. This hurts your career.
Well, ironically, most of the time, it was because players didn't want to move. They wanted to be the man on a team that was going nowhere and they weren't going to win. Glenn Rice is a prime example. I had to pound him for 6 months to go to the Lakers. Dikembe Mutombo was an extremely intelligent man. I had to pat him to go to Houston and be a backup to Yao Ming to try to win a ring. So I was extremely opinionated. I still am. And I looked at my job as not to be a yes man to my clients, but to be a mentor, an advocate. At the end of the day, you know, the one thing I'll say about KD, and I agree with you, I really like Rich Kleiman personally, we're friends. I give KD a tremendous amount of credit because most players will leave a team figuratively for a dollar. KD left about $60 million on the table to leave Golden State and go to Brooklyn. And then he gave up another 20 to sign DJ. Now, if you're that strong, that's what you want to do. That's what free agency means. You have freedom of choice. Whether it works out or it doesn't, I give KD a lot of credit for exercising his own opinion. And if it didn't work out well, that's on him. But that's what free agency is meant for, to allow give people freedom of choice. I mean, how many friends do you have who take a job that you instinctively feel will never work out for them, but it's what they have a passion for it. They want to move to a certain city. They want to be in a certain industry. And that's what life's about. It's about making choices. If you make a mistake, hopefully you learn from your mistakes. What I don't agree with, and I take great umbrage and issue with, is the idea of KD and Kyrie, quote, running the team. When Kyrie came out with the quote, "We have to sit down with Joe Tsai and fix the team." No, that's not his job. His job is to play 82 games at a higher level, play better defense, and help his team win. It's not to be the general manager.
By the way, I'm going to ask you a question.
More than my job would be to take off my suit and go play for the Chicago Bulls to help Michael.
Okay, I'm going to ask you a question. I'm not sure if you can give an answer, but since you said you are no longer taking clients, I think I can ask this question. But if I can't, you know, tell me you can't. If I said to you, give me a player 23 or under right now, if you were a 37-year-old agent, you said, I like that kid, I like his game. Is there somebody out there you're like, I would love to represent him. I like his style, his flair, his smarts. Is there a guy out there for you like that?
Ja Morant. I met the guy for a couple of minutes at a Bulls game when he was coming out of college. He was walking up the aisle with his father. I introduced myself. I think the guy has got it all. He's got flair. He's got tremendous basketball IQ. He's got guts. I love watching him play. I really do. If I had one guy, he reminds me, I would say he reminds me of Iverson, but he's got that kind of flair.
Yeah.
That's really, and production. It's not just style. The guy really delivers in the clutch night after night, and he's just fun to watch.
What a pleasure, David. You look fantastic. I don't know. You must be doing something right because you're a happy guy. You look fantastic. I could talk for hours, but you know my business. I have certain breaks I have to hit. You're busy. I appreciate you always giving me time, David. Thank you so much.
I always enjoy being on the show. We have to do a really long form one day, and I'll do the commercials for you. And you'll probably lose all your sponsors.
All right, David, thank you so much. The great David Falk, who represented Michael Jordan for over 30 years.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific.
Hey, I'm Doug Gottlieb. The podcast is called All Ball. We usually talk all basketball all the time, but it's more about the stories about what made these people love their sport and all the interesting interactions along the way. We talk to coaches. We talk to players. We tell you stories. You download it, you listen to it, I think you'll like it. Listen to All Ball with Doug Gottlieb on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Story, according to The Athletic, the reason Frank Vogel was fired, he did not maximize Russell Westbrook. Wow. So the team, the Lakers, trade for a guy who is perpetually a difficult fit in multiple places. Vogel doesn't want it. And because he can't make it work, he gets fired. Now I want you to think about that. Can you imagine in your life, you're a boss, your owner tells you in any business, could be landscaping, you have to hire an employee.
and you say he's a difficult employee. He won't fit. And the boss says you have to hire him. You do, he doesn't fit, it's toxic, and you get fired for a guy you didn't want. That is what happened with the Lakers, and that's why they're poorly run. Was Vogel supposed to be the magic shooting coach for Russell, whose career three-point percentage is like 29, 30%? Was he supposed to make him a 40% shooter? By the way, Westbrook's numbers with the Lakers ended up aligning very similar to his career. You know the biggest difference? His usage rate went down. Vogel took the ball out of his hands. That translated to Westbrook having the fewest turnovers of his career. And for that, he was fired. Somebody once told me, being an NBA coach is the worst great job in sports. You win, stars get the credit. You lose, you're fired. And this is why I've said with Westbrook, you just got to move him out of the organization. It's toxic. Billy Donovan's a very good coach now with the Bulls. Billy Donovan did something that almost never happens in pro sports, NFL, NBA. He literally just left Oklahoma City. He wasn't fired. Like, he went to the organization and said, and Donovan Sharp is attacked. Like, I want out. What? It doesn't happen. For all the disappointments in the playoffs, Sam Presti, the GM, never fired him. He's like, I'm just going to get out of here. Part of it, the frustration of never being able to get out of the first round with Westbrook. First round. And so, you know, Frank Vogel was fired because a player who he did not want could not work, although he gave him fewest turnovers in like 10 plus years, which has always been the knock on Westbrook is he has the ball so much, a lot of turnovers, very frenetic play, plays at one speed, 1,000 miles an hour, and Vogel got fired. It is remarkable.
Want more Herd? The Herd streams 24 hours a day, 7 days a week within the iHeartRadio app. Search Herd to listen live or on demand whenever you'd like.
So I've said before, when Brady went to Tampa, even without a pandemic, they won the Super Bowl. It took them about 6 weeks to get it right, 7 weeks, because they had no camp. So then Stafford, who did have a camp, went to the Rams, and they were great the first game. I think Russell Wilson's going to go to Denver. First week, they're going to be great. They're going to look as good as any team in the NFL. I think they're the second-best team this morning in the NFL to Buffalo, and then I think it's Rams, Kansas City, Tampa, all that stuff. Peyton Manning, former Bronco quarterback, still lives in Colorado, was talking about a big advantage Russell has going to Denver.
Oh, I think he's off to a fast start in talking to him. I do think it's an advantage for Russell to be coming in with a new coaching staff because everybody's learning, and Russell is going to know this offense better than anybody. So I think Russell's at a real advantage where they're learning Coach Hackett's offense together, figuring out what works and what doesn't work. And I think he's going to be great, obviously, for our young receivers. And like all Broncos fans, excited to see him get to work this fall.
Yeah, and it's interesting. So they call these things Fox Bet, FanDuel. They call them future bets. And so you bet the win total. Like a FanDuel or a Fox Bet will give you a win total, 10 wins, 10 and a half wins, 11. Do you bet the under or the over? Now, most fans always, because they're optimistic and hopeful, bet the over. That's kind of a sucker bet. Everybody bets the over. I tend to bet the under simply because I've been told for years betting the over is a sucker bet. And I don't want to be a sucker, so I tend to bet the under. I think Denver is the one over I like. Their number is 10.5. I love the over. And I'll give you an example. Here's some unders that I think are obvious. Dallas is a 10.5. That's their future bet. That's their win total. I think it's the easiest under in the NFL. I think Philadelphia's better. Washington's better at the most important position, quarterback. And Brian Daboll will make Daniel Jones more competent. So I think their division, all three teams are better. I think Dallas lost so much production, they are going to be far less productive both sides of the ball. They have to cross their fingers that Michael Gallup comes back off that torn ACL. Otherwise, it's CeeDee Lamb and not much else. So I think under 10.5 for the Cowboys, that's the easiest under bet. Seahawks, 6.5. That's the second most obvious under bet. First of all, they're going with a quarterback who, in my opinion, Drew Lock is a backup, and that, or if not Geno Smith, who's absolutely a backup. So in that division, with that schedule, forget it. Under 6.5 for the Seahawks, that is an easy under. Baltimore 9.5. I could go either way. It feels like an under if Deshaun Watson is not suspended by the league. Deshaun, Joey Burrow. Pittsburgh's defense is as good as any in the league right now. Getting to 10 wins for Baltimore is going to be hard. They don't have any receivers right now. They lost Hollywood Brown, and that was Lamar's best friend. So they just don't have the playmakers up the field, I think, that other teams in their division do. But Denver, to me, is the easiest over. Here's why. So if you look at their schedule, six of their opponents, the Texans, the Niners, the Jets, the Seahawks, the Titans, the Panthers, we don't like their quarterback situation. Like Russell's going to have a significant quarterback advantage going into the game. Some of those will be home, some away. So they're going to win those games. They're also not going to get swept by their division. Let's say they split with the Raiders, split with Kansas City, split with the Chargers. There's three more wins. Now we're at nine. Well, I'm going to go where they're going to beat the Jags, even though I like their quarterback. They're not in a rebuilding mode. So, all right, there's 10-3. And then do I think they could also potentially beat the Colts? Yes. Beat Arizona? Yes. Beat the Rams? Yes. Beat the Ravens? Yes. To me, Denver's the over at 10.5. It seems to me 11 is guaranteed. 12, 13 feel strongly about, and I wouldn't be shocked if they were 14-3. They're not going to sweep through their division. I think their losses could be like to the Rams and a couple of teams in their division. But they're not getting swept by anybody. As good as Kansas City is, they're not sweeping Denver.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Herd weekdays at noon Eastern, 9 a.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio, FS1, and the iHeartRadio app.
By the way, Tom Brady has the NFL's best-selling merchandise in 2021, which is kind of remarkable to me. There's all these dynamic, flashy, fun, likable quarterbacks out there, and he is still number one. Kyler Murray's only 24th. Dak, the quarterback of America's team, is only sixth. Aaron Rodgers, Green Bay has a massive national following, is ninth. Tom Brady's number one with Tampa, that doesn't even have a national brand. So it's crazy to me. It really is. His ability, I think a lot of it is, I mean, here's what's even nuttier. In New England, his last several years, when that offense got really boring, he was number one or number two. Didn't everybody after 17 years have a Tom Brady Patriot jersey? Didn't everybody? Like, I get Tampa the first year. But and by the way, the NBA ratings have spiked this year, and LeBron's not in them. And I believe a lot of it is LeBron fatigue, is that the NBA is very good at introducing new stars. We like new stories, and there's so many fun young players that the NBA ratings are up without LeBron. Brady remains a huge TV draw. The biggest draw in the league is the Cowboys. The second biggest draw in the league, I think, is Brady. So is some of this, I think, and I just conjecture here, he's looser, he's funnier, he's more likable, he's embraced sort of social media. But even social media has some limitations. People who are rock stars on Twitter get TV shows and nobody watches. So Twitter has absolute limitations. There's very little crossover Twitter to real life. It's fascinating to me that the quarterback for Dallas is sixth. For the Packers, he's a rock star, is ninth. And he still sells more jerseys than Patrick Mahomes, who's a much more dynamic quarterback, more fun, great personality. Everybody loves him. He's an endorsement stud. Brady has just worn incredibly well. And you just don't get that a lot. Like, there's usually, you know, you see this in the NBA. After about 6 or 7 years, people get tired of a dynasty, right? Like, they want, the reason that the Laker Magic dynasty lasted so long and was so popular for so long is simultaneously there was a Celtics dynasty. So it would go back and forth, good guy, bad guy, left coast, right coast, Magic, Bird. So they didn't dominate forever. It was like some years it was a Magic year, some years it was a Bird year. And so there was this constant struggle between the two. So that one lasted like 12 years, and the NBA flourished. The ratings were huge. But, you know, I think people were starting to tire after like two championships of Durant, Steph, and Clay. By like after the second championship, there was a fatigue. Like, okay, we're over this. Shaq and Kobe, I think, could have lasted longer simply because Shaq was such a gigantic personality and such a unique body type. And he was doing movies. He was everything. But Brady has lasted now. It's 22 years. And the last 20, he's been a rock star and still is beating Josh Allen, Aaron Rodgers. I mean, there's no end in sight. It's rare.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
This is Malcolm Gladwell from Revisionist History. eBay Motors is here for the ride. With some elbow grease, fresh installs, and a whole lot of love, you transformed 100,000 miles and a body full of rust into a drive that's all your own. Brake kits, LED headlights, whatever you need, eBay Motors has it. And with eBay Guaranteed Fit, it's guaranteed to fit your ride the first time, every time, or your money back. Plus, at these prices, you're burning rubber, not cash. Keep your ride or die alive at ebaymotors.com. Eligible items only. Exclusions apply.
Let's clear out winter and clean up the lawn with spring Black Friday savings at the Home Depot. Right now, get the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower for just $89 and make your lawn work easier with a powerful 90 miles an hour of clearing power. And with convenient online shopping, you can order on the app, pick up in store, and get outside sooner. Get your yard spring ready with the Ryobi One Plus leaf blower, now just $89 during Spring Black Friday at the Home Depot. How doers get more done.
Hi, let's talk about Pro Plan Sport. Pro Plan Sport is advanced nutrition made to fuel strength and stamina in active dogs like yours. So wherever your next journey together takes you, start it off right with the high-performance fuel your dog needs to keep pushing you every step of the way. Pro Plan Sport. Learn more at ProPlanSport.com.